Welcome back to the Hemingway List, the podcast where we do things the Hemingway, talking about part 7, chapter 7. This club seems quite fun and posh, and I want to go there and drink champers with Levin. Levin and Vronsky are made friends again. What? It's a bad sentence. Simply Productive says, bring me. Sounds like an absolute riot. Let's all go to wherever this club is and just drink champagne with the boys and just get crazy. Let's do it. And regarding them being friends again, Simply Productive said, this is one of those little microcosms that by its own nature cannot be sustained for long. Just as Facebook was an exciting, unprecedented way to connect with family and friends without using email and without having to search them up manually, it eventually became a privacy nightmare and is now heralded as one of the most addictive social media platforms. But does anyone remember when it first started, how exciting it was, how much flurry of activity, how many whispers, how we all realized just how powerful it could be, and suddenly everyone was clamoring aboard, trying to join. For a short while there, it was so authentic. People expressed how they actually were doing, told people their heartaches and triumphs and how they actually felt. I do remember that. I don't use Facebook anymore. I have it. But the interesting thing about my Facebook is I unfollow everyone who I'm friends with indiscriminately. I've unfollowed my own mother on Facebook. I also only have about, I think, less than 50 Facebook friends. So I deleted my Facebook, started a new one as a way to manage my Facebook pages, and then just added a few key people to that. But yeah, anyone that I add, I immediately unfollow. So when I log into Facebook, all it says is, your wall is blank. It says something like, add friends to show things on your wall or something. But essentially my wall is just blank. I can't scroll down and there's nothing displayed. And that's the way I like it, because I really don't like the wall. I'm not into it. Simply Productive, sorry, sidetracked there. Simply Productive continued, this is a microcosm that I think Levin walked into. There's no way that can sustain for very long. It will fail because it absolutely must. He's able to be himself and get along with Oblonsky without the usual banter, and with Vronsky without tripping over his words. Oh, come on, that will end. Do you guys agree that these things are short-lived?
Do I agree?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It did seem a bit like, is he just in a good mood? And they're just all out at a club and they're, you know, being frivolous and drunk, most likely. And he's just, everyone's awesome. Is that what was going on? Or what was happening? Yeah. It was surprising to me and a bit out of the blue. So I think it does seem short-lived, yeah. I think whatever was their core problem before will still be at the core of what they disagree on. The old jealousy thing. I just joined a dance troupe. Not me. This is Simply Productive. I just joined a dance troupe. Terrible timing because I just also had toe surgery and I'm supposed to be off my feet entirely. Well, yeah, your timing couldn't be worse there. And it feels like that kind of microcosm. It's directed to women over 18 with no dance experience. And because so many women hate their bodies, it's meant to be a body positive troupe. So far, so good. Everyone is super nice, but I'm just waiting for those shoe to drop, so to speak. Good things just don't last forever. Yeah, I mean, if everyone's making a point of being body positive, it's the same. You know what I mean? It's just saying the opposite. I don't know. Like, fake compliments are usually just like a mirror of like what they're thinking. Right? Does anyone else feel that way? Maybe I'm super cynical. Maybe I'm like really cynical. But when people are like, this is a place of friendliness, everyone be friendly, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, friendliness. Oh, I love your hair. And they're either just like trying to ignore the fact that like all your teeth are missing or something like that. Or I don't know. It's just, it can be as uncomfortable as a straight up like, As the opposite, essentially. I don't know. Right? Am I saying weird stuff? Maybe I'm just talking weird stuff. I think the body positive, like if you're making an effort to do it and everyone's like being nice, it's just something a bit superficial about it, right? And I think you're right, like it doesn't hide the fact that underneath all that, you're all noticing like, oh gross, that woman has a tumor hanging off her eyelid or something like that. I don't know. Charlotte. Okay, I'm sorry. That was really cynical. I don't know what my point was there. I was probably completely wrong and stupid. Charlotte said, back when Levin thought to himself that he wouldn't act awkward around Vronsky anymore, I was wondering if he'd be able to pull it off. I was kind of expecting that to fly out the window as soon as he made contact again. He seems to have done all right, though. Well, there we go. Maybe it's what I said. It's just the good cheer of the club. A few drinks down. He's just feeling very... Everyone's awesome, you know. I love you, man. I love you, man. Are we just drunk? Oh, that might be it, yeah. Levin says, I am Norwegian. Levin likes Turutsin because he reminds him of his proposal to Kitty. How did that proposal go again? I just remember the first crushing one. Levin, of all people, feeling reconciled with Vronsky is a huge step forward for him, even if it is fueled by the atmosphere of the club and probably a good amount of drink. Hey, great minds think alike, Norwegian. All right, let's keep reading. Let's keep reading. Powering through. Oh, man, what have we got left? Like 150-ish pages of this book. Chapter 8. On leaving the table, Levin, feeling that as he went, his arm swung with unusual regularity and ease, passed with Gagin through the lofty apartments to the billiard room. When they had traversed the large hall, he met his father-in-law. Well, and how do you like our temple of idleness? Said the prince, giving him his arm. Come, let's walk about a little. Yes, a walk is just what I want, and to have a look around. It interests me. Yes, it interests you, but my interests is different to yours. You look at those old men, said the prince, indicating a round-shouldered member with a hanging nether lip, hardly able to shuffle along in his soft boots, who met and passed them, and you imagine they were born Schlipyks. Schlipyks. Schlipyks? What's that? You see, you don't even know what the word. It's a club term, you know, the game of egg rolling. Well, an egg that has been rolled very often becomes a Schlipyk. The footnote says, a hard-boiled egg that has been repeatedly cracked till it has become soft and useless for the game. And so it is with ourselves. We keep coming and coming to the club until we turn into Schlipyks. There, now you're laughing, but we are already thinking of how we shall become Schlipyks. You know Prince Chechensky? Asked the prince, and Levin saw by his face that he was going to say something droll. No, I don't. You don't? What? The well-known Prince Chechensky? Well, never mind. He's always playing billiards, you know. 3 years ago, he was not yet among the Schlipyks, and he showed a bold front, calling others Schlipyks. Well, one day he arrives, and our hall porter, you know, Vasily, yes, that fat one, he is a great wit. Well, Prince Chechensky asks him, I say, Vasily, who's here? Any of the Schlipyks? And Vasily replies, well, yes, you're the third one. Yes, my lad, that's how it is. Chatting and exchanging greetings with acquaintances, they chanced to meet Levin, the prince, and the prince passed through all the rooms. The large one, in which card tables were already arranged and habitual partners were playing for small stakes, the sofa room, where they were playing chess and where Koznishev sat talking to someone, the billiard room, where by a sofa in a recess a merry party, which included Gagin, were drinking champagne. They looked in at the infernal regions, too, where round a table at which Yashvin had already taken his seats, crowded a number of backers. Taking care not to make a noise, they entered the dim reading room, where under shaded lamps a young man with an angry countenance sat turning over one newspaper and another, and a bald general was engrossed in what he was reading. They also went into the room which the prince termed the wise room. There three gentlemen were arguing about the latest political news. Will you come, prince? Everything is ready, said one of his habitual partners, finding him there, and the prince went away. Levin sat down for a while and listened, but remembering all the conversations he had had the day heard, he suddenly felt terribly bored. He rose hastily and went to look Kvevr Oblonsky and Turovtsin, and with whom he had felt merry. Turovtsin, with a tankard of something to drink, was sitting on the high sofa in the billiard room, and Oblonsky was talking to Vronsky by the door in the far corner. She is not exactly dull, but that indefinite, unsettled position, Levin overheard, and he was hastening away when Oblonsky called him. Levin, said he, and Levin noticed that though in Oblonsky's eyes there was not actual tears, they were moist, as they always were when he had been drinking or when he felt touched. Today it was both. Levin, don't go, he said, holding him tightly by the elbow, evidently not wishing to let him go on any account. This is my true, almost my best friend, he said to Vronsky. You two are even more near and dear to me, and I want you to be friends, and I know that you will be friendly and intimate because you are both good fellows. Well, then there's nothing for it but to kiss and be friends, said Vronsky, good-naturedly jesting and holding out his hand. He quickly grabbed Levin's outstretched hand and pressed it. I'm very, very glad, said Levin, pressing Vronsky's hand. Waiter, bring a bottle of champagne, said Oblonsky. And I am glad too, said Vronsky. But in spite of Oblonsky's wish and theirs, they had nothing to say to one another, and both knew it. You know, he is not acquainted with Anna, said Oblonsky to Vronsky, and I particularly wish to take him to see her. Let's go, Levin. Really, said Vronsky. She will be very glad. I would go home at once, but I'm anxious about Yashvin and want to stay here till he has finished. Oh, is he in a bad way? He keeps on losing, and I alone can restrain him. Then what do you say to pyramids? Levin, will you play? Oh, capital, said Oblonsky. Place the balls for pyramids, he added, turning to the billiard marker. They have been ready a long time, replied the marker, who had already placed the balls in a triangle and was rolling the red ball about to pass the time. Well, come along. After the game, Vronsky and Levin joined Gagin at his table, and at Oblonsky's invitation, Levin began betting on aces. Vronsky sat beside the table, surrounded by friends who were continually coming to him, or else went to the infernal regions to see what Yashvin was up to. Levin experienced an agreeable sense of relief from the mental weariness of the morning. He was glad the hostility between Vronsky and himself was ended, and the impression of tranquility, decorum, and pleasure did not leave him. When they had finished their play, Oblonsky took Levin's arm. Well, then, let us go to Anna's. Now, at once. She will be at home. I promised her long ago to bring you. Where were you going tonight? Nowhere in particular. I had promised Sviatsky to go to the Agricultural Society meeting. But I'll come with you, if you like, replied Levin. Capital, let's go. Find out whether my carriage has come, said Oblonsky to a footman. Levin went to the table, paid the 40 rubles he had lost betting on the aces, paid the club bill to an old footman who stood by the door and who seemed to him, to some miraculous way, to know what it came to, and swinging his arms in a peculiar way, passed through the whole suite of rooms to the exit. All right, there we go. A little club scene. That was fun. I've got some good discussion prompts today. I can feel it. I've got some goodies. Head over to the subreddit. See what those good discussion prompts are. And I'll look forward to seeing you in the comments and seeing you tomorrow. Catch you later.